Blog Talk Radio.
This podcast is brought to you by the Phantom Gallery Chicago Network, an artist-run project that exhibits the non-traditional gallery setting. The Phantom Gallery looks at how the city influences art and how artists transform the city by contributing to civic dialogue and quality of life. These installations produce creative conversations. I'm your host, Alpha Bhutan. Thank you for listening.
Good morning and welcome to another episode of Creative Conversation. We have on the line today Carol Henry Alexander. Hi, Carol.
Hi, Alpha. Great to be with you.
We're just going to kind of jump in. We have like a 25-minute segment, and our time really runs fast. I want you to, you know, tell us about yourself and, you know, talk to us about your trajectory of yourself and your career.
Okay, great. Thank you for asking. First, I must say that it is on the shoulders of my ancestors, Oscar and Pearl Sistrunk, Leslie and Elise Henry, my grandparents, and my mom and dad, Corinne and Wilmore Henry. I stand on their shoulders today. I grew up in New Jersey, and I went to college at Western College for Women, San Francisco Art Institute, and UC Santa Cruz. And then my education started with traveling. I started by traveling to Cuba to a biennale of artists from all over the world, and that is when I really started getting my education. And my curiosity was so piqued by the culture of Cuba, and it made me go to Nigeria, and then again, most recently, Ghana, in addition to traveling and working in communities around the U.S. My work really is a deep dive into culture, community, nature, and our environment. I started out as a printmaking major. And through the years, I have done the printmaking, I've done textile work, painting, papermaking, installation, and most recently sculpture created with what is called invasive plants. Creative action is the focus for my work, for myself, and when I work in community. And I've been working it with communities for about 35 years. My thing is to create a safe space in support of developing our own narrative around identity, connections with the earth on which we live, and what building community wellness looks like for myself and for the communities that I work with. And let's see, all of these pursuits really are centered around starting with self, moving into family considerations and ancestry, and then out into community. So that's what, you know, that's kind of my trajectory.
So I met you in Sacramento, or, you know, like when we were living in California, and you were a part of then doing curatorial practice at the Museum of the African American Museum of Art and Culture at Fort Mason. I think that's when we did an exhibit with you at that time, a group exhibit, and the guest curator or juror was Somalia Lewis.
Yes, Somalia Lewis. Yep. That job was very interesting. I was so excited to be doing curating there. And then from there, moved out into other spaces in the community in California. And that gave me a chance to think through what the curatorial process for me is. And also, it's interesting how curating is sort of how I work when I'm working with communities, because I have a concept, I have a vision, and then the community fills in all the blanks so to tell the story. So, yes, I feel like as a community-based artist that it is also a community-based curatorial practice that I have.
Right, and so the term that we're using now is tactical urbanism, and what that definition is in terms of placemaking, and when you're engaging community members, you know, and bringing in like city leaders, and they learn from the citizens, you know, in terms of placemaking in the arts and what the community needs. So it's interesting how that shift, you know, has happened for you, you know, over the years. You also attended an African American Art Summit that I coordinated when I was out there and working in California and in the state capital, Sacramento. And I think that you were part of that presentation when we were at the college. So we just had this track record of, you know, working in the curatorial practice. And our paths have intersected that way, from your time in California. And then if you could talk about your transition to being in those public spaces in California, and then how you're faring on the East Coast.
Well, it's time has passed, you know. I left California in 1998 and have been living on the East Coast in New Jersey and now in Maryland since then. And it's very different culturally, and it reflects very much in my work, the change. Although I would say that those core issues and concerns and interests are still there, which I would say are about identity, connections with the earth on which we live, and on building community. And so, you know, when I go in, work with a community, work within a community, my biggest goal is to listen, to start the spark and then listen to different aspects of the community. Like just recently I was in San Francisco working on an Arab identity project with a group of youth leaders with the Arab Resource and Organizing Coalition there in San Francisco. And so for me it was so interesting because I haven't had a lot of contact with the Arab community, especially as a group, and noticing all the diversity. It was like a learning experience for me. And what I learned, I then reflected back to with the people I was working with and back and forth. And then they created artwork about who they are and the stories that they want to tell about themselves, their families, and their communities. So I'd say that's California again. Here, what shall I talk about here? Here it's been a pivot really to the environmental work. Although I did environmental work when I was in California, here I've really gotten involved with organizations that are protecting our rivers here in the DMV. We have 5 huge rivers that flow into our Chesapeake Bay, and so it is the joy of our area to live with all of this water, with the power and strength and cleansing that the water gives to us and support that the waters give to us in this community. So here I've been working very much around water quality, access to water, And everything is with art as the tool for community engagement around those kind of concerns. And also the People's Climate March, and most recently working regionally with two wonderful women, one in California and one in Vermont, where we're doing art, farming, and wellness together. And our goal is to create community gardens where herbs, medicinal herbs and medicinal plants are grown so that people can work on resiliency, wellness, self-care, grow their plants, make their medicine, and share with their community. So really, that's what's on top for me right now.
So that is, like, you know, it's not a lot of reach, but it talks about how you intersect your art career with art and wellness, as seen
yes.
in the practice of curators. And this year, the Phantom Gallery has launched a project that's a curatorial fellowship at the Evanston Arts Center. And you're coming in as a featured artist. And we're doing this 1 year of creative conversations, introducing your work, so that next summer you will create an installation there at the Evanston Arts Center. So I just kind of like want to read. Yeah, I'm excited too. And so it'll be this year-long journey of artist / curatorial practice. And our first conversation that we're going to have, of course, is today, but you will also be presenting during the virtual trolley tours that we are here in Bronzeville as part of the Bronzeville Art District. Because of the COVID-19, we are now turning our gallery artist tours into the virtual space, and you'll be a presenter. So you want to kind of take a moment to talk about that shift in the way we're presenting our work now to the public?
Yes, because I'm currently in a consistent quarantine since March 1st, and that was when I had returned home from the Arab Identity Project in San Francisco. And so, you know, I'll admit that the first few weeks I was kind of like, wow, all of my art projects that I have planned for the rest of the year have either been postponed or canceled, because really a big part of what I had been doing is gathering people together and having creative action and community building with art around, you know, as the tool. So I'm like, hello, how am I going to do this now? And I did spend a few weeks when I was in my studio and, you know, working on paper pieces of painting and mixed media, and I'm looking at the work and I'm trying to, like, do it like I used to do it, and it's like I couldn't do it like I used to do it. When I look at the work, which people will see on Friday evening as part of the trolley tour, it's pretty chaotic. It's all over the map. It's bright and bold, and it doesn't really remind me of the work that I had done in the past. And so, you know, for me, it really signals a new day for me and my work and how I work with community. And I think that the most obvious thing is that it's really, my work is becoming a true alignment of all of the work that I do, which would include the herbal medicinal plants, which I've been studying and practicing and growing for the last 6 years, and growing food for our family and encouraging people in the community to join me. And in that, kind of like the old Victory Gardens, and then art in the studio, which is turning into like photography and painting and collage and making paper from the plants. plants that are medicine, and just really it's kind of all interwoven into what is becoming my new artwork.
Well, I just remember having a conversation with you precursor COVID-19 and the shelter in place, and these are things that we were talking about last year and where we are in our own art practice, and needing the time and the space to shift. And I think that, you know, that conversation has happened to a lot of artists during this time where we're actually creating work in our studios, and not to say that we're welcoming the transition, but we are, what word could I use?
You know, growing.
We're going to it. Yeah, we're growing and expanding and, you know, reaching within ourselves to create a new, you know, body of work that reflects the time where we are in this space. I have a couple other questions that I wanted to talk to you about in terms of our investigation.
Okay.
I wanted to talk to you about, like, unanticipated impacts. And I guess we really just covered that and how that does the current body of work intersect with the ideas of art and social justice and or tactical urbanism. And you talked about that already. But what I wanted to kind of address is that recently we were working on a pilot proposal for the California Arts Council, and it was interesting how we were trying to structure that. You want to talk a little bit about the farms and the Red Door and how, you know, we're pulling these collaborations together all over the country?
Yes, this is, I think, the future for myself, and I think many artists, is that we are the healers. We are the people who bring communities together, and that those skills will be important to the resiliency of our communities, our cultures, and actually ourselves. And this project was part of a art and innovation project that the Arts Council had put out a call for proposals. And that was when I met the two women that I'm working with now. And we were putting together a proposal to work with in Sacramento with local farmers, community health care providers, and artists to build a framework for continued wellness and resiliency in the Sacramento area. So I think that it's going to be important in my world to kind of leverage my knowledge around plants and my knowledge around art to engage a community that has gone through incredible trauma to rise up and thrive once again together, you know?
Yeah, I feel that way as well. But the other part of it during this time, it shows the cultural needs and how our communities took care of us. Or did they?
Are you talking about our communities in the terms of the art communities? Is that what you mean, how the art community has taken care of us?
I think you can answer either way.
I think that it's interesting caregiving and mutual aid and how that's shown up in my life and in my world here in Maryland. It first started out with people, you know, just kind of checking in, and that's what I've been doing, is checking in and also doing artwork, creating images that reflect the caring that I feel towards my community and putting it out there, mostly online. Everything's become so digital that it's almost like the paintbrush is kind of set down for a minute in order for me to create images that speak to my community around the fact that we are stronger together, that sticks in a bundle don't break. And I would say that when I say community, I'm talking about my local community, but also my broader community in all over the country and communities that I've worked with, and then also like in Nigeria and Ghana, where I also have strong artist connections. And, you know, we're all going through a big change, and it's been interesting to stay in touch with artists globally and farmers globally and herbalists globally and see how we are supporting each other through this.
I think that was a great response. You know, I didn't want to kind of like, you know, narrate that or, you know, talk about that through my lens. So I really appreciate that response. And again, the way that, you know, it is so important that we reach out to fellow artists that are confined in their studio spaces, you know, because we need to have that vibration that we're sending out. And you also do a series of altar installations as well. You want to talk a little bit about your altars?
Yes. So, you know, I started getting involved with creating altars when I went to Kula. And it was there that I learned about the culture and the idea of the practice of creating altars to bring energy and to give thanks. And so now that is part of my life. When I traveled to Nigeria, I experienced that also. In Ghana, I experienced that also. And here, a lot in the environmental, nature-loving community, river-loving community, the environmentalist community, we do a lot of altar building, which looks like, for me, photographs, plant materials, things from the earth, brought together with water. I have a nice collection of water from everywhere I've been. I bring water home. So like my altar currently has water from the Volta River in Ghana, which I gave offerings to when I was there last year and brought home some of that water to bring the energy of that place to my space, which reminds me of what I learned there and what I can be grateful for. So, yes, I'll build an altar at the drop of a hat, okay? And I keep one going.
That's why it's kind of like that's why you, when I did the charge in 2013 and invited artists from all over the country to come to the Visual Art Development Project was hosting a retreat called The Land, and there we a series of artists did installations, and this was up in Auburn, California, at Anita Posse Lowe's, you know, estate. Do you want to talk a little bit about your installation and what you did in collaboration with Happy?
Oh, that was really, really interesting and really pivotal to the way I see altar making, because I was allowed on Anita's land. I was collaborating with L.A. Happy Hyder from San Francisco, a photographer, and we did a huge installation called Limitless, and we worked exclusively with the materials of the land there, and we created a labyrinth that was in honor of the land and for healing for the community, really for ourselves as well. And it was a collaborative process that allowed us to really just be with the land and listen to the land. And we followed the instructions of the land to create with, you know how in California have those big, humongous pine cone from the there's a certain pine tree out there has, you know, 12-inch long pine cones, and we created the labyrinth with that, and also did some drawings on the trees, and it was a really positive experience in terms of getting with the land, which I think is important to my work in this moment, because all of that reflects in the work that I create in the studio. Everything from, you know, the wellness aspect, getting grounded, being aware of your environment and where you are, looking at the sky, noticing the insects, hearing the birds, all of that is central to my practice in terms of my own wellness. And then I reflect what I learned from that time in the studio work that I'm creating.
And so remember, you guys took your own hammocks out there and tents. We were not in hotel rooms. You were like part of the land, and you camped out there.
Right.
And then, you know, we shared meals, and it was just another, you know, like I won't say another retreat because we haven't staged another one since then, but it was a type of retreat where you really become one with the land and nature and, you know, and we were invited there, you know, and storytellers came and other workshops happened, but you guys are out there really engaged in, you know what I mean, being in love with the land.
And that is part of the work for me. And the second part is to share that experience and enable comparable experiences with community. And I feel that is part of our general wellness, our connection with the earth and with each other. And it's funny, Alpha, because I'm thinking now in my garden right now, nature is having a challenge, and there's lots of change going on there too. You know, we have I have less bees in my garden and butterflies. You know, I have more animals that are coming in to eat the food that I'm growing and eat the herbs that I'm growing. And, you know, it's not just us humans that are going through change and not knowing what is next. I see it every day in the garden, and I don't know, it helps me understand that, you know, I'm part of that whole, I'm part of this whole world of living beings. And that, you know, the other day a snake came and went into the bird house that this lovely bird family was there. The babies were in there. We saw them, you know, make the nest and all of that. And then one morning a snake came in and went in there, and the mother and father were screaming and yelling. I went out there, and there was a big old black snake in there eating its babies. So it's like,
no. Okay. All right. Perfect time to segue into, you know, our final last minutes. And you wanted to do a, you know, shout out to your website.
Yes, I would be so happy to hear from folks. I'd love to hear what you think about my work, and if you're interested in supporting my work, my website is carolhenryalexander.com. And also, if you're interested in contacting me directly for herbal products or altar making or the art itself, consultant services, you can direct message me at carolawp@gmail.com. That's Carol, Artist with Purpose, AWP@gmail.com.
Thank you, Carol. And you can also, at Bronzeville Art District, join us on Friday, July 17th at 7 p.m. for our first trolley tour, a virtual tour.
All right. I'm excited about that because it'll be a Zoom virtual tour, and I'll be able to share your images.
An artist-run project that exhibits in non-traditional gallery settings. The Phantom Gallery looks at how the city influences art and how artists transform the city by contributing to civic dialogue and quality of life. These installations produce creative conversations. I'm your host, Alpha Bhutan. Thank you for listening.